When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta. And before we get started on tonight's story, I'm going to let you know about tonight's author, Jordan Group. Jordan Group Horror is a channel on YouTube and also an author of many stories you may have heard here before. If you want to see more stories directly from the author himself, take a look at Jordan Group Horror on YouTube or click the link in the description down below. And now, on to tonight's story. I was scrolling YouTube and I saw the channel pop up on my feed. It said, "Recommended for You," beneath a dark thumbnail image. Something about it called out to me and I clicked on it unthinkingly. A loud baritone voice began to speak, filling my living room with sound. Strangely, I can't remember what it said, only the deep, entrancing way in which it spoke, and the insidious pain of it boring into my brain like the dentist drill during a root canal. It was painful, but it was new and exciting. It's hard to explain, but I suppose the sensation could be compared to eating spicy food or some other less PG-13 activities. It hurts so good, as they say. My head was swimming with endorphins and adrenaline, and all I wanted to do was watch this video again. So I clicked the replay button. My head was just buzzing afterward, my ears ringing, a warm trickle of something wet leaking from each side of my head, and I raised my fingers to touch the dampness of blood running down my cheeks, both from my ears and my eyes. I remember laughing then. The reverberations of my demented chuckles ringing off the walls of my living room as I stared at the blank, black screen and the replay button waiting to be clicked. Begging to be clicked. My teeth hurt. My knees were wobbling and my hands were shaking as I maneuvered the mouse to click the elusive button to give me another fix and another hit, another bump of pain and power and... Something clinked as it hit the floor. The video was over again. I looked down to see not one, but several of my teeth had fallen out without me noticing. They sat on the floor staring up at me. "Watch it again," my bloody molar said. "You know you want to," coaxed an incisor just next to it. I hit the button, and the video began to play once more. And after that, I must have watched it again, several dozen more times, in fact. When I opened my eyes and looked around, I saw that it was morning. Birds were making high, cheerful chirping noises from just outside. They'd enjoy this too, I thought. Everyone needs to see this. So I sent the link to everyone I knew and then began moving furniture. With an extension cord, I hooked up the big TV outside of my front lawn. My eyes were tired and were closing involuntarily. Blood was dripping from the holes where my teeth had been and was running from my ears and my eyes. I felt footprints everywhere as I limped in and out, getting everything set up. Finally, it was done. A small crowd of neighbors had gathered, seeing my bloody progress and wondering what I was up to. "Watch," I said, hitting play. "You're going to love this." I stood back and observed as their jaws dropped. Their eyes glazed over as drool began to pour from their lips. It was the first time I had seen someone else watching it. I realized, upon seeing their reactions, just how strange all of this was. It hadn't occurred to me at all that something might be wrong with the video. It just felt so good watching it that I wanted everyone to feel that pleasure. Now that I saw my friends and neighbors watching, I gradually became aware that something wasn't right. Something insidious was happening when people watched that YouTube clip, and it was doing something to their minds. Lazily, slowly, I began to move my arms, flexing my fingers, and I looked down at them. I reached up and I felt the gaps in my gums where teeth had previously been planted, and I screamed. A howling, guttural scream that caused babies to wake from their naps made them join me in my high-pitched release of terror. The neighbors around the television didn't seem to notice, though. They stared in fixation at the screen, the zombie glow on their faces exposing their drooling mouths and glazed-over eyes. All of a sudden, the video stopped playing. It was over, and people were shaking their heads and looking around as if coming out of a trance. A trance that they desperately wanted to continue. "Again!" someone said firmly. "More!" said another. I began to stutter and try to speak, my words coming out uncertainly at first. "No," I said. "It's bad. There's something wrong with it." I couldn't articulate it any better than that and went about to the back of the computer to unplug it. More neighbors were coming out of their houses, having heard my scream and having seen the crowd forming. They wandered over just as a small crowd began to turn on me. "He doesn't want us to see it," someone muttered angrily. "He wants it for himself." "Well, for himself!" The voices began to blend together into a growing rabble of noise as a dozen other people meandered over. A large man named Bill, who lived two doors down from me, suddenly jumped me and grabbed my wrist as I unplugged wires. He snapped my right index finger without warning, pulling it backwards until the bone snapped and shards poked through the skin. Blood spurted and gushed, but he seemed not to care. Only looked into my eyes as he continued to pull the finger backwards, further and further. "More. I need more," he said in a deep, angry voice, clenching his teeth and grinding them afterwards. I screamed again, and those other neighbors joining the crowd began to protest. But then someone hit the play button again. The crowd, now doubled the original size, stood in fascinated awe, watching the video as it played. Bill threw me to the ground and raced back to watch. Like a little kid waking up early after Saturday morning cartoons, he laughed with giddy excitement. And then his jaw dropped and drool began to drip as he observed the screen once again. His laughter turned to an imbecile, It reminded me of Steinbeck's Lenel Small. Despite my finger being broken, I knew I had to do something. And quickly, if I didn't, who knew how far this would go? The video was like a parasite. It fed on human minds. It didn't let go. It turned us into gibbering idiots, and if my missing teeth were any indication, it injured more than just our minds. That's when it occurred to me what I should do. While they were all standing there, entranced and captivated by the video, I ran inside my house. My modem was hooked up there, and that was the answer to the problem. I'd unplug it from the source. I'd lock my doors and windows so no one could get inside. I took out my cell phone and called the police, dialing 911 with a trembling thumb. Avoided using my broken hand completely. Putting it on speakerphone, I locked the doors behind me and ran over to my modem. The emergency operator picked up and I told her simply that I had been assaulted, that a neighbor had broken my finger, and I was barricaded inside my house. I told her the man was outside trying to get in, and that they should hurry. None of these were a complete lie. As soon as I knew that the whole neighborhood would be trying to get inside, and the part about the assault was obviously true as well. Still, I was a little nervous as I hung up the phone while the operator was mid-sentence, telling me to stay on the line. I felt as if I was breaking some rule by not listening to her, and an even worse rule by lying to her. Those concerns were forgotten moments later, though, as I unplugged the modem and people began to pound on my front door with angry fists. Suddenly, I had something much worse to be worried about. The door crashed in with a force of half a dozen men, enraged and red-faced with anger. They swarmed me, spittle flying as they demanded with slurring voices that I fix it. Whatever I had done, I needed to fix it. I refused, and the pain began immediately. One man threw my head against the wall, my body trailing behind with a delayed reaction that made my spine pop noisily out of place. The drywall caved in under the weight of my skull, and I coughed out white dust and spit particles of paint as a horrible headache spread outward from the top of my dome. Another man produced a knife from his pocket and went quickly to my ear with it, beginning to hack with a smooth blade in quick seesaw motions. Blood spurted from my ear as I screamed and screamed. The other man restrained me, telling me over and over again, "Fix it! Fix it! Fix it now!" All the neighbors were squeezing through the door frame with total disregard for their own safety, mashing their faces against the trim just to get through. I heard ribs cracking and breaking, but saw no signs of pain as they began to press in all around me. They raked their fingers down my cheeks, leaving bloody gashes, moaning and howling as if in pain. Eventually, I relented. I told them that I would do as they asked. I had no choice. They would have killed me otherwise. I plugged the modem in again and told them to watch the video. The group of them raced outside, showing the same disregard for their own safety as before, if not more. One man dove through the front window, shattering the glass. and the rest squeezed through the door in bunches. By now, everyone in the neighborhood was out front, and the crowd which had formed was now a growing horde. 100 people or more stood gazing at the television, and I muttered and moaned to myself, hating myself for what I had done. That was when the police car arrived. They called for backup, and some more were there within a few minutes. A dozen or so police officers wandered over the scene, trying to make sense of what was happening. "What is all this?" they asked the crowd. As people blinked their eyes and looked around, the video had ended once again and they were desperate for more. I was scared to go out front after what had happened. I stayed inside like a coward, hoping the police would somehow solve the situation. I banged on the glass window of my front door, screaming and waving the police officers over, hoping they wouldn't fall into the trap of looking. But that just isn't human nature. If one person stands on a busy street corner looking up at the sky, as if seeing something of great interest, others will join him. And maybe even a few cops will come to look as well. And that's exactly what happened. One of the cops walked over to the television set and looked at it. The crowd was murmuring discordantly, and he seemed curious what could cause such a group to gather. I screamed out the window at him, telling him to stop. It was too late. Someone hit a button. The video played again. This time, several people began to sway and lose balance. Teeth fell out of their mouths as their ears and eyes began to bleed. A twisted sound of laughter rose up into the air and drowned out the baritone buzz of whoever was speaking on that video. I don't know what to do. I'm terrified of unplugging the modem again. Even if I made a run for it, they would catch me. They would torture me until I made it play for them again and again and again. There's hundreds of them out there now. More are joining the crowd by the seconds like a plague. The video is spreading as between viewings, everyone sends it to their friends and loved ones. Their gap-toothed smiling, so enthusiastic, so eager. They just want others to see what they've seen. Have you clicked on it? Do you want to see the viral video?
Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I just wanted to tell you thank you for watching tonight's video, or listening to tonight's episode of the podcast. And as always, I want to give a very big thank you to everybody who supports me on Patreon. If you scroll down to the description at the very bottom, you'll find a whole bunch of people there. Also, we've included this nice little scrolling thing because the number of people who support me on Patreon has gotten so big that I'm afraid it might actually max out the description. So we've included this here as the little scrolling text on the end screens. So everybody on that scrolling text, everybody I'm about to mention right now and mispronounce all of your names, and everybody who can donate even $1, thank you so much. A very big thank you to Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Stephanie Butler, Reaper 61167, Bobby Carmen, Tristan Pelton, Chance Burnett, Dinah Krause, Vicky McQuickie, Sam Ahai, Crusader Chocobo, Spooky Shell, Adam Morris, Grand Moth the Milky, Big Smoke 369, Captain Scurvy, Salty Irish Poet, Esteban, Raiden Morris, Nate Cull, Horror Fan 1212, Hour Minute Second Time, Kyle Resnack, David Martin, Scarrington the Unkempt, Robert Malcolm, Angelus, Spanky, Snoochie Boochie, Seclude, Lupita Galvin, That Creepy Chick, Tyler Fletcher, Merxenum, Red Shadow Cat, Xavier the Cheyenne, Demix, Sean Catabaker, Six Gay Rats in a Trenchcoat, Turtleman, Rob Like Sharp Things, Cryolinian, Xavier Graphius, Lord Life's Best, Goring Tramagasy, Maria Walker, Emily Mitchell, Crazy Kid, Mr. Marcus Blitz, Eka Limchok, Dirt Diver 30, Matt Bach, Voice of Sand, Coffee Zombie, Hidden Tiger, Shelly J, Jeremy H, Sekamel, Nana, Deleted Account, Melted Lake, Tali Sue, William King, Darth Miver, Michael Ortiz, Titanic Aries, Bartohawk 764, Lambda M98, Harley, Sashi Suzaku, Cronut 509, Kaylee Ambrose, Suji Campbell, Stricken, Freddy Krueger, Happy Birthday Jason Wilson, Lisa Cottrell, Caspian, Hades Nephew, Tater Chip, Acid System, Prozac and Pancake Appreciation Society, Benjamin Welvret, Cryptic Nightmares, Kiri the Sloth, Fester's Lampshade, Sky Harbor, Nico Kyle, Rafael Rodriguez, The Ginger Bros, Aaron Stormcrow, Daniel Paulson, and Corey Kenshin. As always, thank you guys so much, because you guys help me do everything that I do here. You guys help pay authors for stories and commission stories and do everything that I can do to make this channel and make this podcast the best it could possibly be. So thank you all for supporting me here. And as always, everyone, sweet dreams.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.